Judge Neil Gorsuch, that's the name the president unveiled this week as his pick for the Merrick Garland seat on the Supreme Court. We were lucky enough to have author and attorney Rabbi Jay Michelson with us when President Obama nominated Judge Garland, and he's back with us today. Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, Jay. What was your first reaction when you heard the president's choice for his Supreme Court nominee?
Well, yeah, thanks, Walton, for having me back. My first reaction was, well, this is payback for the conservative Christian right, which put Trump in office.
Sure.
You know, there's kind of a misconception out there that the president just ran purely on the so-called white working class and all that kind of resentment. But actually, the largest block of voters for him were white evangelicals, conservatives. And it's not a secret why they did that. They voted for social issues, for Mike Pence, and for the Supreme Court. And so by choosing someone who was by far the most kind of pro-life, I think, explicitly of any of the finalists, with the possible exception of Judge Pryor, you know, the president's sending a message. It's payback time.
Well, at least there's a clear and direct track record for this nominee on issues of religious liberty. I wish you'd talk about his involvement in the Hobby Lobby and Little Sisters cases, if you would.
This is the guy who wrote one of the Hobby Lobby opinions at the circuit court level that then got sent up to the Supreme Court. Actually wrote an opinion that was more favorable to Hobby Lobby than the eventual Supreme Court opinion. So, you know, especially in light of the fact there are rumors going around now that we're about to see a huge national religious exemption executive order. You know, you and I have been talking about the religious exemption strategy for several years. It's now at the absolute highest levels. And this is someone who is, you know, the judicial equivalent of that executive order. I mean, this is someone who believes there should be extremely broad religious exemptions. And the Hobby Lobby opinion is one of those. He's also involved in the Little Sisters of the Poor case, which is the case that said if you sign no on a form, that means you're actually signing yes. And he endorsed that logic. So Judge Gorsuch seems, from all accounts, to be a very brilliant jurist, also very ethical, but extremely conservative, well to the right of the mainstream on religious and social issues.
Remind our listeners the principle at stake in Hobby Lobby and the principle at stake in Little Sisters.
Narrowly, Hobby Lobby was about Obamacare and contraception and whether a private corporation could exempt itself from paying the insurance coverage that might be one day used for contraception. But what it was more broadly about was whether corporations are people for the perspective of religion, which the court decided that they are, and you know whether they're entitled to exemptions from laws of general application. So I'll just give you another example that has nothing to do with Obamacare. Suppose the folks at Hobby Lobby say to an employee of theirs who has a same-sex partner, you know, legally married, we're not going to pay your wife or husband's health insurance because we have a religious objection to that. You know, under the logic of Hobby Lobby and the rumored executive order, that would be perfectly legal. So, you know, it starts to look a lot like separate but unequal when you have a marriage that doesn't have to be respected by others. So narrowly, Hobby Lobby was about Obamacare, and now, of course, that contraception provision is going to be taken out entirely. But more broadly, it's about the fact that corporations are people, corporations are religious people, and corporations can use their religious beliefs to discriminate against others.
So what else do we need to know about this nominee that you know?
If the Republicans hadn't trashed the confirmation process last year with Judge Garland, this is someone who should be confirmed, because what it used to be was that if it's a qualified jurist and somebody of satisfactory ethical standards, you don't look to his ideology or her ideology. You know, the trouble is that last year we had an extremely competent, perfectly qualified judge that many Republicans liked and endorsed and had voted for earlier, who didn't even get a hearing, let alone a floor vote. So now the rules are different, and there are many who are calling for the Democrats to say, well, all right, we're going to approve Judge Gorsuch because he's such a good guy. Well, Judge Garland was also a good guy, and so now we're in a different zone where if Democrats were to approve Judge Gorsuch, they would be rewarding the unprecedented and oath-defying behavior of congressional Republicans, Senate Republicans last year.
Jay, in the second half of this last week, sources that we know and trust published leaked information on proposed pro-discrimination legislation that's really nothing short of breathtaking. You're an expert on religious exemptions, so what are your thoughts on this development?
Well, the fact that it has not yet been released, at least as we're having this conversation, gives me a little bit of hope that maybe White House counsel is reviewing the executive order. The terms of the order are very similar to a law that passed in Mississippi and that was later ruled unconstitutional. So maybe this delay is an indicator that they're thinking it over. What they have on the table, what we've seen, the leaked document that Sarah Posner found and published for The Nation, is indeed breathtaking. It is the end of LGBT equality as we know it. And as you know, we've known each other a long time. I'm not prone to exaggeration or hysteria. But when you allow any government agency, any corporation, any organization, and any individual to disregard somebody's gender identity because of a religious belief, to disregard somebody's marital status because of a religious belief. And then, you know, some of the sneaky bits in there, too. It's just also, well, I think sex before marriage is my religious belief, so therefore I won't do business with unmarried couples, which will include same-sex couples because I don't view their marriage as legitimate either. You know, you really are talking about a regime of separate but unequal where my marriage, speaking personally, would have no value. Where any adoption agency in the country, even if it gets 100% of its funding from the government, can simply refuse to place a child with me, where any corporation can refuse to serve me. And this is not just turning back the clock. I mean, this would be the most significant anti-LGBT and also anti-women executive order really in history.
Jay, you're one of the few people in the world I think can answer this question. There are many Americans who supported Donald Trump who are now dismayed, disappointed, and some of them afraid. And yet, it's really, really hard to admit you've changed your mind in a situation like this. So, Jay, rabbi, writer, teacher, attorney, how do we help? How do those of us who saw this disaster coming make it easier for those former supporters to break away and put patriotism ahead of partisanship?
Well, it's a really interesting question. It's, you know, speaking for myself, I actually am planning to stand aside. I don't think there's anything that I can really do as someone who's a progressive and who's spoken on this sort of thing for many years. You know, I don't have a whole lot of credibility. And I think this is something that conservatives need to come to on their own. You know, there was a blog post last week that went viral by a security hawk on the Lawfare blog, which is a mostly center-right conservative security hawk blog, saying why the ban on travel for people from Muslim countries was such a terrible idea. Not because he was a bleeding heart liberal and was upset about Muslims, but because he's a security hawk and was upset about what this would do to American security interests. You know, that kind of argument is, I think, the most important as there builds a conservative groundswell against Trump and a moderate groundswell. That's really important. And so I think, you know, what can we do to help? In a certain way, it's to stand aside and let the conservative community lead on this. But I will say, you know, it's interesting. There's one group that hasn't really been crying and gnashing its teeth, and that has been the Christian right, the institutional Christian right of conservative evangelicals, conservative Catholics, because they've gotten everything they've wanted. They've gotten several cabinet appointments that are pushing that agenda. They're going to get this executive order. They have the Supreme Court justice. And, you know, they've been willing to look the other way on just about everything, alienating our allies in Mexico and Australia, corrupting the National Security Council by putting a warmongering, inexpert, crazy, paranoid person, Steve Bannon, on the NSC. So far, they've been willing to look the other way as long as they get what they want on social issues. And I worry that from the religious point of view, things are going to have to get a lot worse before that community also comes around to regret their support of Trump.
And, you know, all they had to do to get all of that in their pockets was sell their souls.
That's right. That was it. And I think, you know, I'm hopeful Trump's speech at the National Prayer Breakfast, which was really obscene, right? I mean, just like his speech at the launch of Black History Month, you know, to get up at the National Prayer Breakfast, which is a rare moment of solidarity and unity, and to make jokes that we should be praying for Arnold Schwarzenegger because the ratings on The Apprentice are so low. I mean, it's fine. We all know Trump is a narcissist, right? But that's blasphemy, right? I mean, he is at a National Prayer Breakfast with sincere religious believers, and he's basically making about his television show and his ratings. I mean, that is outrageous. the people of faith have to really ask themselves, all right, it's fine. All right, he didn't know it was 2 Corinthians instead of 2 Corinthians. Okay, he's a serial adulterer who's had a number of affairs and brags about assaulting women. But where is the line? Insulting the prayer breakfast, making a joke out of the national prayer breakfast? To me, I scratch my head and I wonder, you know, what's this guy going to have to do in order to alienate people of faith enough that they say, you know, this really isn't worth it. Especially, look, with Vice President Pence waiting in the wings, President Pence obviously would be just as socially conservative as the Trump administration. So, you know, they wouldn't lose by abandoning Trump. You just have to wonder, is there a line that he can cross? Or if they're really willing to just put up with absolutely anything, including blasphemy at the prayer breakfast.
Dr. J. Michelson wears at least 2 hats. He is a rabbi, meditation teacher. He's a leading writer on contemporary spirituality, whose latest book is The Gate of Tears, Sadness and the Spiritual Path, a book that I have been rereading over the last 3 weeks. Jay's also an attorney who served as a law clerk to Judge Merrick Garland. Thank you for being with us again, Jay, on State of Belief.
Thank you, Elton. And unfortunately, I look forward to you renaming the show State of Disbelief, given what's going on in our country. But keep doing what you do. Really appreciate it.